Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. This is Renee. I'm glad you joined us this morning. When I started the show on Monday, it was my intent to talk a little bit about the purpose of life and health insurance. And yours truly has gotten involved in this arena because I've decided to be a representative for the insurance with the doc, Aflac. And the reason I decided to do that, there are many reasons. Number one is because I believe in it. Number two, I think one of the biggest stressors, if you are ill or you've had an unforeseen accident or something has happened, so many of us live paycheck to paycheck that if that does happen, we worry about the rent or the mortgage, we worry about the utilities, we worry about any number of things that there isn't really any, free time with. When you owe FP&L or New York State Electric and Gas or wherever you're living money, they want it. And yes, you can talk to people. Shelley is a big advocate of making sure everybody understands that ignoring it doesn't make it go away, that your best option is to call and talk to people. And I would agree. I would agree 100%. Of course, a lot of us put it off because it's a negative thing for us, and it's a difficult thing. And a lot of times we don't want to share with everybody what's going on if there's a problem. So Aflac actually pays the policy owner. Say you just fall down on the weekend cleaning house or climbing up on a ladder, and you break your ankle and you can't work for a few days. For most of us, that means there's going to be a problem. Unless you're at the point in your life where you're working a salaried position, and if you take 3 days off, you still get a good paycheck. Okay, so Aflac sends the check directly to the person that is being covered by the insurance, which I think is an awesome thing. However, I was always a bit negative about life insurance because it always seemed like every time I heard about it, and one time I even went to a weekend-long class that was like 20 hours just so I knew the difference between whole life, term life, mutual funds, annuities, all those things, because I felt really dumb about all that stuff. So I had an opportunity to go to a class like that, and I took it. Gosh, that was probably, 20 years ago anyway. But now I am in the middle of being licensed to be an insurance representative. And even though Aflac is not in the arena of a lot of the stuff I'm learning right now, I'm finding it very interesting. And what I've really learned in essence is that your insurance, whatever you have, whether you have whole life, whether you have term, whether you have universal life, whatever you have is only as good as your agent, because it's a lot to learn. The book that they give to you to study from and to take classes with is like 650 pages. It's a big book, like a school book kind of a thing. And a lot of information. Please keep good vibes out there that this old woman can keep up with it and pass the test, because it is a lot to remember. But I learned a lot of really positive things that I want to share with everybody. So half the show today is going to be about insurance, and we'll talk about that a bit. And then we're going to get back into the Bully Proofing Made Easy workbook by Izzy Countman, because I think that I don't like to stay away from that book for very long, because so much of it helps all of us, not just those of us in eighth grade, if you know what I mean. So I'm going to bring Shell in. and we're going to start talking about the insurance.
Complete this 30-second questionnaire, and to say thank you, we'll present you a few exclusive offers.
Can you believe this? Oh, that
you
is gotta,
you haven't shut up your pop-ups, I guess.
Yes, I have, but this morning they're all right in there again, right in there again.
Yeah.
And it's calling me a visit, but I saw something go down. I saw for, you know, how you get the spinning wheel. So I think I lost connection, but I think I'm into the right site now. I think it lost me and allowed those to come in. You know how when you get the time, the spinner, usually means that you've actually lost connectivity. So I think it's good again.
Weird.
Well, last night it started again, and the young man was here, and everything was off, and everything was working great. So I'm going to call him this morning and let him know that. And when I try to do it myself, it doesn't stay gone either. So anyway, this insurance stuff is a lot more user-friendly, I guess, is what I found out, and I'm kind of pleased about.
And
I guess what I want
to say about AFRA, you're not talking about insurance in general.
No, I'm talking about insurance in general. You and I both are very familiar with Aflac. We both learned about Aflac at the Institute, and of course everybody sees all the commercials on TV about Aflac. There are other policies that are very similar, and some of your big insurance companies now, like Prudential and I don't know, I can't even think of all the names of them that are out there, but a lot of them now have rider policies that you can add to your life insurance policy that are very similar to Aflac.
Really?
So
I guess
everybody
was the only one that offered payments that would go directly to you for non-medical issues, basically.
Yeah, no, that was true for a very long time, but it isn't any longer because a lot of insurance companies that already have people's business and are already doing business with them for a life insurance policy, or in some cases life, health, and everything, are offering that to their clients in lieu of letting them go outside of their realm and giving their business to Aflac. So I don't know that, again, this is all of these wonderful things that I learned are only available to you if you have a good agent. If you have, you and I talked about this the other day. Back in the day, when I was a little girl, matter of fact, I told the story about my insurance man trying to give me a ride home from the store, remember? And I wouldn't go with him because Mom told me not to get in the car with anybody, and I met him at the house when I walked home, and he told Mom that I wouldn't take a ride from him, and Mom said, well, you can take a ride from him, you know. When he left, Mom said, you were absolutely right. You shouldn't have taken a ride with him. That's what I've always told you. So, but insurance men back then were like friends of the family. You know, they would come and sit and have coffee with Mom and Dad if there was a change in the policy. At one point in time in my youth, my father was representative for American Motors. So that meant a lot of traveling. So when he took that job, there was a revision in his policy. But when the agent found out my dad had a new job, my dad didn't seek out the agent. The agent called and said, I need to come and talk with you. I hear you've got a new job. We need to talk and make sure that you've got the kind of coverage that's going to take care of that big family of yours.
Right.
And
right.
And so he'd come and show Mom and Dad what was available to make sure that there was a backup plan.
Right.
And one of the things in the beginning part of this workbook, which I love the way it's phrased, I love the meaning, and I think that it will show some of your younger people today. If you're out there and you're between the ages of, like, say, 20 and 40, and you have a family, and maybe your kids, maybe you got three kids, and they're all in elementary, middle, and high school, you should have a policy. And you should have something that is earning you some comfort at this point in time of your life. Because if you are in a family like that, a very young family, maybe the mortgage is only 10 years old, so you have the biggest part of your mortgage left to pay, you're taking care of the daily things. We've talked about on this show so many times how difficult it is today for people to make ends meet. Imagine if half of you was gone. And it ruins people's lives every day, Shelley, every single day. But life
what I like about AFTAC, from what I remember, because I had also gotten involved with AFTAC at one point, and I didn't actually end up taking the job, but I had gone through the whole process and got it, and I liked the way it operated. But what I like is that, number one, they're very quick in getting money to you, so it's not a big claims process like with disability and other options. Sometimes it takes people weeks or even months to finally get that first payment, and in the meantime, they're trying to keep their creditors at bay. So with Aflac, I know that they have a quick response to a legitimate claim, so that's one thing that's positive. And then, like you said at the beginning, they're paying the money to you, not to a service provider. So you get to make the decision as to where your priorities lie, which bills are most important, you know, keep your lights on, keep your mortgage paid, that kind of thing. And if you choose to see an alternative doctor or a naturopathic doctor that wouldn't be covered by insurance anyway, that's what attracted me to Aflac, because I'm not interested in going to medical doctors. That's why I never had medical insurance. I haven't carried medical insurance in decades, except for like for catastrophic, like an accident or something. But general, like pharmaceutical drugs and stuff like that, I don't partake of that anyway. So I never needed the medical insurance. But I would have things happen from time to time that would make me want to see a naturopath or something like that. And it's nice to know that if you are injured or so ill for a time that you can't work and you're missing that paycheck, you can make the decision as to what bills need to be paid, and then you get to take that money and budget it according to your particular obligations.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, it's kind of a smart thing to just be prepared, and health insurance is always another story. But if you break your arm or your leg, you have to have a doctor. Most cases, you can't go to a naturopath, although I'm sure there are some out there today that are getting into this arena, because that only makes sense. If you're going to have a baby, you have to have some kind of health insurance. So health insurance is imperative for a lot of people. Choices, as you get to be, I'm going to say over the age of 40, if you make up your mind that this is what, like Shelley has done, that this is the way she wants to live her life, that's certainly her prerogative. And she has doctors that she trusts, or naturopaths that she trusts, and that's who she goes to see. But if some of these other things, and these are not considered catastrophic, by the way, actually most policies have inclusions that don't say that they'll cover, like the big mudslide and all that kind of stuff that just happened. Those catastrophic things, in a lot of cases, they don't cover those kind of incidents or accidents. But
what I meant by catastrophic, I didn't mean like social catastrophes. I was talking about injury to myself, because I don't use medical doctors for general illnesses like most people do. So, like, if I had a slip and fall and I broke a leg, or if I had an appendix burst or something like that, I'm talking about personal catastrophic where my naturopath wouldn't be able to help me. So I've carried medical insurance from time to time for those types of instances, but not for general health care the way most people use medical insurance. That's
right.
What I meant by that.
Right. Well, I've had the whole time I worked at the Institute, I was covered with health insurance, and I didn't use it once in 10 years. But but there have been times when, you know, like I've heard, well, even the time that I fell out of my car I didn't go anywhere or go to a hospital or do anything like that. So
the only person I know that ran over themselves with their own car while they were in it.
I know. It is kind of amusing that I have done things in my lifetime that really are not normal at all. Not normal at all. So, but the role of insurance is supposed to bring security and peace of mind and freedom of worry to people who are responsible for a whole family. And
right.
It does lessen, you know, that peace of mind is not as tumultuous when you have five people that are depending on you to take care of you or when you just have yourself. So there's lots of things that need to be taken into consideration. But the true significance of insurance is its promise to substitute future economic certainty for uncertainty and to replace the unknown with a sense of security. Now, what those are is de-stressors. What those are is that little life preserver, if you will, that hangs on the wall of life that says, you know, geez, here's a dad, like I said, with three kids and a wife, and the wife works part-time because they've got three kids and he's got a good job. She just volunteers at the school, and maybe she does a couple little things here and there, but she doesn't bring in any big whomping paycheck. So everything depends on his well-being, everything, for all those other people. Big responsibility, especially
right.
if you accept it and understand it. It's a big, big responsibility.
Right.
So what I learned my first 20 hours in this school is that the insurance companies are incredibly flexible, which is something I didn't think was true. I thought once you took an insurance man into your house and they said, okay, here's the policy you should have, and it's going to cost you $80 a month, and, you know, you have to make your payments, otherwise, you know, you lose all the money you put in. And, I mean, you know, even back the class I did all those years ago, that's what I understood it to be. That's really not true. That's really, really not true. Policies that are written by a reputable company and a reputable agent are incredibly flexible. If there's a change
when you
in
say,
your life.
Well, what are you talking about when you say flexible? Because I have a reason for asking this, and I'll tell you what that is after you answer, but I don't understand what you mean by they're flexible.
I mean, you can change your policy. You can disclude or include or revise your policy.
The reason I'm questioning that is because, and maybe this is only because of the type of insurance I've carried, that may be true for private insurance, or maybe the rules have changed in the last couple of years, but the last two times I did get health insurance through a business, you were restricted because there's tax benefits to that because you're getting it pre-tax dollars. So they take your premium out, and then they reduce your salary, and they tax you on what's left. So because it's being done on pre-tax dollars, the government's very, very strict about it. You cannot change that policy until the next anniversary date. So if your company renews their policies every April, for instance, that means whatever you've chosen, you're locked into that policy now until the next April. You can't make any changes to it. You can't drop coverage. If all of a sudden you find you can't pay the premium anymore, you're in trouble because you can't change the policy unless you get married or divorced or something happens to your status that would then be an intervening thing. But unless something changed in your status, you can't change the policy. Has that been changed?
No, and you're talking about something entirely different. You're talking about
policy
where a whole bunch of people have measured in to the outcome of how everybody pays. A group policy is an average. You know, like at the Institute,
The reason that's in there, though, is because of the pre-tax dollars. It's actually partially managed by the government. So the insurance company has restrictions from the IRS, and I think that's why you're not allowed changing it, because then it would alter, like you said, it's an average. It would alter the numbers that they're getting.
Exactly. But again, the reason for that is because you're talking about, you know, that's it's not the same as having a policy that you've got. I'm talking about...
You're talking about private policy, somebody going in and getting it for themselves. You're not talking about somebody getting it through their job.
And somebody just insuring themselves for life insurance and, you know, along with health, and in some cases setting up, you know, a savings with annuities and things like that. You know,
okay.
A perfect for somebody is everything. But a group policy is managed in a whole different way. And there's lots of different ways with the taxes too, because that can get pretty involved. And your FICA taxes have to be paid by you and your employer when you're
mm-hmm.
talking about that. And you've just, you know, that's a whole different thing. And work policies. When you're done with a group, you always often get better prices. Say you're a 45-year-old man who's decided you want to take out a life insurance policy and you want to do this and you want to do that. Your employer can do life insurance. I mean, it's minimal, usually $5,000 or something like that. But they can do that for, like, super cheap. Why? Because
mm-hmm.
they have 100 employees that they're paying for.
Yeah, I think usually the general policy starts at $10,000. I've had life insurance through companies before, and it usually starts at a $10,000 policy. And some companies even throw that in if you get the health insurance. I actually had that at one company I worked at.
That's exactly right. But you can get them as small as $5,000 coverage for a death or a, you know, a policy.
More like a real policy type of thing. Yeah.
But the... It's all about being covered, and you're right. If you're throwing your money into, well, I don't want to get into that yet, but there's annuities and things like that where there's lots of tax questions and lots of things that you have to take into consideration.
Let's stay with what you want to talk, but I did, because a lot of people that are listening may be people that are employed and have their insurance. I want them to understand there's a difference between that type of insurance and what you're talking about then, because that's kind of where I was going at first.
Yeah, well, group insurance that you get through your workplace is very valuable. And if your employer, if you're working in a place where your employer is paying part of it, you're foolish to not take it because of the things that we just talked about. Because, yes, it's going to cost you some money. But I will tell you something. I know for a fact of somebody getting coverage for their child, and the payout was close to $1 million. I mean,
wow.
How are you going to pay $1 million bill to a hospital or an organization that is taking care of your child? You're not going to. So
exactly.
The worth of having a group policy for a family in a workplace is awesome. However, if you are, like I said, the breadwinner in a home, that health policy that you might have on the rest of your family won't be paid unless you're working. So, again, it opens up that door to insecurity, because if you're not at your job and something happens to you, then their insurance is gone. So all of these things, if you're in your 40s and you're raising a family, that's the biggest reason I wanted to talk about this on the air, because I think when you're in your 40s, you think you're infallible, Shelley. I think you think, oh, I got plenty of time to do that. Oh, I got plenty of time to do that. I'm fine. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. We got health coverage at work, and everything is good. But if something happens to you, it's gone.
That's right. That's right. And health insurance, the whole reason why Aflac is so attractive is because health insurance helps with your medical bills all right, but even sometimes there's leftover from that. But it doesn't pay your electric. It doesn't pay your mortgage. That's where people run into issues when they get sick, you know. So even if the medical bills get paid, now you have all the stressor of other stuff that you've got to attend to that you're not getting from your paycheck anymore.
Exactly. And you can't know when something like that's going to happen. Things
right.
just happen. There are car accidents every day. There are heart attacks every day. There are all these things every day, millions of them around the world. So the point I'm trying to make is that if you are confused, you need to find, you know, research. Find. I'm not going to say Aflac again, the one that I am choosing to represent. It's like what Shelley just said. It's like a policy that you should have as well as the other kind of insurance. You should have this because it's Aflac paid $50,000 to the person I just mentioned. $50,000 because what happened was an accident. There were things involved, and once they took everything into account, a check for $50,000, not designated for a hospital, not designated for a doctor, not sent directly to pay a bill, but written out to this family, was delivered quicker than any other policy that they had.
Right.
So,
right.
But the insurance, because once, you know, medical bills as a rule, and I'm going to say this out of school, but I think that this is true. Medical bills as a rule are not supposed to go against you on your credit rating. But we all know that if somebody looks up your credit rating every now and then, because there's no monitor about who puts what in where. So if you have a collection agency that's driving you nuts about some bill or some copay in a lot of cases, somehow or another, a lot of them get slipped into your credit report. Now credit reports rule your life. They rule
that's right.
your life.
Getting
you can
a job.
Lose a, that's right. You can lose a job or not get a job to begin with. None of these things were true when I was a young woman, and I'm forever grateful for that because I worried enough about enough things. If I'd realized every time any little thing happened to me and, you know, some things you just have to always put on a back burner so you can deal with what's in your face in the moment.
Right.
And I think
right.
people are doing that today. I mean, this is a really fast-paced world we live in. Very, very fast-paced. I mean, you and I were talking about the cars and the robotic cars and all this stuff. I mean, we have come to something grandparents would think like, you know, it's like outer space stuff, right?
Yep.
But it's,
well, it's even futuristic to me. I mean, so many people take it for granted, but it's so futuristic to me. Half the technology I'm still not completely up on. I want to become up on it, but I'm not yet.
Right. Well, and I don't think it's possible to be there, honey, because it changes every minute. Every minute there's...
Some of the younger people I meet, they all take it in stride. It's almost like they're intuitive and they know what's coming next. It amazes me. You know, it's just our generation wasn't so technological as, like, your grandchildren are now. And it's easier for them because they've actually been raised in that climate. I mean, kids go to school and they sit there with laptops and stuff. You know, you and I didn't. You know, with you, we had pen and paper. So it's just a totally different environment for the young people. So they take the changes more in stride because they're going online and they're anticipating them. They're reading articles and they know what the next thing is. I'm out of the loop with that. I don't see it until I see somebody next to me or I see a commercial for what these devices can do now, and I'm always like, wow, you know, it just blows my mind.
Well, that's why I think it's kind of imperative that everybody understands what is available to them in this world as well, because this world is what's going to protect all those robotic cars and all those
that's a good point.
You know, this world is what's going to make sure that your kids still get to keep their iPad, iPod, laptop, blah, 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 all of those things. This
right.
should be ground floor of your kingdom. And a lot of us grew up in a world where, when I was young, it was very important. By the time my parents had Danny, who was only 10 months older than my oldest son, they didn't have any insurance. It had all lapsed, or they had cashed in if they had annuities or something from when the first three of us were very young. They used the money to move from upstate New York to Florida. They, you know, I mean, it had its worth for them, obviously, because, you know, it pulled them out of, my dad had a nervous breakdown and lost his very, very well-paying job. Stuff happens, right? He couldn't
yeah.
do that job. But then the remainder of his life, the next 20-some years, he was a bartender. But he had been representative for American Motors, and he traveled all over, and it was very, very stressful, and that's what gave him the nervous breakdown. My father was a very sweet man, and he didn't like not always being able to be honest with people and things like that. I remember him telling me that, and, you know, it just didn't suit him, so he ended up having a nervous breakdown, and they moved all of us to Florida. And at that point in time, my sister Patty had just been born. I think we drove to Florida. She was like, I don't know, a month old. And then I had two more siblings after that. So times change and stuff happens. And the point is that you must have some security in your life because it brings peace of mind. So even if you are in a place where you think, well, he's actually my oldest natural grandson, and he's 21, and they live with me at this point in time, and life is pretty easy for them, but they've decided they want to be out on their own. I'm trying to support that in, you know, not monetarily, but just with advice and what have you, and they think they have it all under control, and I know that they don't. I know that it's going to be a rude awakening. You know, when you come home every night and there's always, you know, there's always bread in the cupboard and there's always food on the table and there's always electricity and there's always cable and all this good kind of stuff, that becomes pretty oh, well, of course we have this and of course we have that. Or there's always laundry detergent to do a load of laundry, and there's always this, and there's always that. You grow up in a world like that, and then you think that as long as you set up housekeeping and you go grocery shopping once a week and you have a paycheck coming in, that all that stuff's going to be true. You and I both know there's work involved there. There's budgeting involved. There's
budgeting,
lots of things.
Yeah. Budgeting is the big thing, because when it's always being provided for you, you don't realize the actual cost involved until you're the one that has to make sure all those things are in your cupboards and at your access. So, yeah, budgeting is a big thing, and a lot of young people don't really go there.
Exactly.
Something
that we've
talked about this, it's a subject for another day, but these are the type of skills that should be taught in school. Kids should be taught how to budget. Kids should, you know, they should have to get pen and paper and write down how much it costs to run an apartment so that they do make better decisions. It, you know, school is supposed to prepare kids for, you know, for being adults and living on their own, and yet some of the basic skills they're not given in school.
Well, actually, I'm gonna argue with you a little about that. School was designed for reading, writing, and arithmetic. School now is probably further than it's ever been in its history in regard to teaching about life in general. However, there's no criteria to pass for that with our academic people that are involved in the school board and the Department of Education and things like that. But you're right. That needs. I remember David in 10th grade had a teacher who took it upon himself to teach everybody how to keep a checkbook. And David came home. Oh, and he also talked to everybody about the responsibility of a vehicle. David didn't drive a car until he was almost 30 years old because of this teacher. Because he knew he was to accept all the responsibilities of a car.
Wow.
This teacher said, you know, you've got to have insurance, and your insurance has to be the kind of insurance that covers other people because so many people don't buy insurance, and you have to do this and you have to do that, and then there's the upkeep, and you have to change the tires on a car. You have to make sure the oil is changed. David was like, why would anybody want a car? I'll walk.
Wow.
Funny. He didn't get He didn't driving and even asked to have a car until he moved to Minnesota when he met Carol.
That's
prior
amazing.
To that, he never drove. So it is funny. It is funny what, you know, and if we got them when they were young, I think it would make a difference because they're more untainted by what they've heard and what other stories people have told them. But the fact that this teacher taught him how to keep a checkbook blew me away. My mother, when my father had his nervous breakdown, my mother brought the checkbook to me. She says, why does your father have this written in here?
Oh, geez.
And I looked, these are the bills he's paid. And these that he has in a different color ink are the bills that are due every month. I mean, my father was impeccable with stuff like that. Mom was lost. Lost, lost, lost. She met my father when she was 18. She married him by the time she was 19. My father didn't let her touch the checkbook.
Yeah, well, and we've heard stories about that where when you have couples and either the woman or the man always took care of the bills and all the paperwork and they pass away, you know, like in a way that surprises the other person, like it wasn't anticipated. And the survivor doesn't have a clue where any of the formal paperwork is, and like you said, don't even know how to balance a checkbook. So yeah, so it's something that I think more and more people today are realizing that both parties need to know how to do that kind of stuff because you just never know. And this is a perfect example. If the breadwinner, if the one who always pays the bill is the one that gets injured, the one that's left kind of keeping things together has to know, where is the Aflac policy? How do I put a claim through on it? How do I keep things going while my partner is now incapacitated? So it's really important that both people know how to move forward with these, how to take advantage, and what's really covered on their different policies.
Well, and I, you know, that's such an important point. And I think one day we'll do a show and we'll ask some moms, maybe even some dads, to join us on the show, and we will talk about the way you have your lives organized. We have talked about living wills. Remember, we were so amused to find out that some people didn't know the difference between a will and a living will. I remember somebody
right.
said to me, "I thought a living will was something you wrote when you were alive." And I said, well, it would be really hard to write a will when you're dead, but I guess you can understand that. So, but I think it would be great to have a show that talked about, and we'd need, you know, like a couple other people to talk about it with us because everybody has such different points of view about things like that. But it is important that not only you and your spouse, or you and your significant other, the ones that are taking care of the household, but there should be stuff written down someplace in safekeeping that explains to everybody what's available, what isn't available. There's so many policies and things like that that people can have that can just be transferred to a child, you know, your heir, and they can keep collecting the annuities. They can cash it in. If they bring their agent in, they can say, this is really slow. Let's do this and let's do that. And if you have a good agent, they'll give you that information and they'll help you move on so that you get more worth out of monies that your mom and dad have been putting in for years and years and years and years. So
right.
It's hard to be enlightened about this stuff, and it's not easy. But the point is that, well, it's like, say there's a death in the family. Both parents have a car accident. God forbid, I hate to put stuff like this into the energy field, but say that happens. It's happened before, and it will happen again. And there's a 19-year-old, a 17-year-old, and a 15-year-old, and they're left. Now, the 19-year-old, according to law, is now an adult. He's over the age of 18. And he can actually, contractually, by the way, I learned this last weekend, the law recognizes an 18-year-old. Mm-hmm. You and I looked that up years ago, and we were told it had to be 21. So, but now it is 18. Of course, they still don't have some rights, but I guess contractually speaking, they do. And they're left. If there's not something, or if there isn't someone, now if they're very wealthy, mom and dad have got somebody who can step right in and knows what goes where and can officiate and show the kids what they're supposed to do. But what if there isn't? What if the policy is small? This isn't a wealthy family, and the kids are going to need to live for a while until everybody's out of high school, et cetera, and can do their own thing. So there's ways to get some of this money relinquished in monthly payments. There's ways to have it set up in something that's going to earn more money so that the kids can use some of it, but it can be earning interest while it's set up. What mom and dad didn't need now, the kids didn't need then, the kids need now. So all of this comes with having a good agent and picking a good company that's going to protect you, because that's what it's supposed to be all about. It's supposed to be about security and protection. So if you have an insurance man right now and you call him and he doesn't return your call, dump him. I'm telling you, dump him. Because some of the people I've met in the last couple weeks, the man that's doing these classes has been with an insurance company since he got out of college. He's been there 40 years this week. The same company, the same people he takes care of. Now he's taking care of their kids. It's really a life choice. And if you talk to people who have been in the insurance business and are really good at it, they stay with it their whole life. You know, it's a career for them. And they do something that you and I appreciate, Shelley. What is one of the most important things you and I talk about when we do things? We want to help others, right? We want to make a difference.
Exactly, exactly.
And a good
when
age,
you do this absolutely. For a long time, you become more and more expert at it, and then it's easier for you, like you said, with the flexibility, it's easier for you to look at somebody's personal situation and customize a package that's going to be more beneficial to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, I mean, this is something that blew me away this weekend, and then we'll be down to 15 minutes, so I do want to touch a little bit on the Bully workbook. But I wanted to get some of this information out there, and maybe some more questions will come into us, some more issues that people are dealing with, and maybe we can help with some research. And worst-case scenario, I'll ask about it in school this weekend. So, but
cool.
I think that one of the most interesting things I found out, say you and I go into business together and you and I realize that we can't run the business without each other. If you're not there, then analytically the business is going to fall apart. If I'm not there, generally the business is going to fall apart. Those are our strengths. One of us is analytical. The other one would be me, a little bit more out there, and I kind of like keep pulling the pieces together to keep it all there, but I expect Shelley to read between the lines and know what's going on. So as a team, we'd be a pretty good team. So we have a business, and it's thriving. And we look at each other one day, and we say, you know, who the hell would I get to do all this, Shelley, if something happened to you? And she goes, well, I feel the same way. You know, who would I get if something happened to you? So we cover each other with a policy. And that policy will just be to keep the business going until we replace the other person, or maybe keep the business going to move on and maybe do something else. Who knows? But it would keep the other person drowning in a business that you work so hard to build, right?
Exactly.
So this happens all the time in these companies. So we get a policy, and 5 years later, we pay on the policy, everything's good. One of us decides that they don't want to live in the United States, or they don't want to live over here anymore, they want to move to Hawaii. So we're gonna sell the business, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And I say to Shelley, well, I think I'll let your policy lapse, you know, because we don't need that anymore. And she says, oh, no, sell it to me. I'll keep it. It can be for the kids. Did you know you could do that?
No, I did not. That's pretty awesome.
Yes. You can buy your policy back from me, a policy that I bought on you 20 years ago when you were in better health, younger. The premiums are much cheaper than what you'd have to pay now, and there's a lot of equity built up in this policy. And you can do
now,
that.
Now, what kind of a policy are you talking about?
I'm talking about a life insurance policy.
Oh, wow. So this is an Aflac. You're talking about life insurance.
I'm talking about life insurance, yes. So you take that policy and you say, okay, Renee took out a $250,000 policy on me because we figured out that's what it would take to keep the business going for 6 months without the other person being here to carry their side of the ladder, right?
Uh-huh.
So you take $250,000, that policy, and you call our agent, and you move that into something that's going to produce annuities, a stream
of
income. So
no, I did not know you could do that. That's amazing.
I didn't either. And, you know, a lot of employers will put a policy like that on key people. That was done at the Institute. I was covered by a policy, Anna and everybody in upper levels were covered by policies in case something happened to one of us in midstream. I don't know if everybody knew that, but that's done all the time in big business, because if you have to go without somebody who's an integral part of the day-to-day functions of a business, you can do that. So it's very, very interesting, and again, nobody will ever know about it unless they have a good agent, somebody who's really there for them. So choose those people wisely. It's imperative that when you're shopping for stuff like this, I mean, I see Elise is on listening to us. She's probably en route with the kids or something. But there's the perfect family. She's got, you know... Steve is her husband is a, you know, the main supporter, although Elise has been that many times during their life together. But they'd be in trouble, you know, so they've got to have something that's going to help them. They have a mortgage, they have all of the stuff that goes with living today. So it's smart to search this out. If anybody has any questions about this, I am still a novice at this. But I found the information that I collected in 20 hours to be awesome and things that we could really, really use and things that could make a difference. Elise, I think you want to talk?
No, I was just letting you know. I was on, then I had to get off. Now I'm back on again, so I missed, I heard you talking about insurance before I was getting off and how imperative it is in schools for the wives to learn how to balance a checkbook and how to handle, you know, the insurance policies. And I say all the time to Steve, where is it? And it's always changing. It's always evolving, you know, and it's always being updated. And you know what? I really don't know where that policy is, what the number is. And so you know what I'm doing this morning?
For you, honey, because it is. And, you know, and it's not about anything other than being prepared. And, you know, everything we talk about in this life is so uncertain. You don't know what's going to happen in the next 15 minutes. It could be a great thing. It could be a not-so-great thing. But But you can't prepare for accidents. You can't prepare for the unknown. But you can prepare for how you're going to deal with whatever happens. And a lot of times that just means being enlightened about what's going on. A couple, I have, matter of fact, I'm revising them as we speak. But 20 years ago, when I lost my mother and father, I wrote letters to all four of my kids. And I still have them, and I read them over the other day, and I thought, God, this doesn't matter anymore, this doesn't matter anymore, you know. So I'm going to revise them and write them something that will matter now. But a lot of it back then was about how you're going to survive if something happens to me and Dad. And not to worry if one of us gets sick, all the things that bothered me when I lost my parents. So now I'm going to rewrite letters. But, it, you know, if something happened to me today, my poor husband wouldn't have a clue about what he's supposed to pay, what he isn't supposed to pay, what we do pay, what we don't pay. He wouldn't have a clue. He's never opened our checkbook in 47 years.
Wow.
He has a debit card now, but he just says, Reen, can I use the card? Yes or no. That's it. That's as far as that goes. So you're right. It's imperative that we all know because, you know, as a team, you have to know what he knows, and he has to know what you know. It won't work
yes.
any other way.
But what's compounded now is that many of the bills are paid online, and not that I don't know how to pay a bill online. I just don't know the accounts. I don't know where he keeps the account numbers. I mean, there's so many bills, and there's so much to organize, and I think I'd be like Spike. I think I'd be a little freaked out. I mean, I did learn how to – I know how to do my own checkbook. I know how to do a lot of that, but – gosh, you know, changing the light bulb, you know what I mean? Just the fix-it things, the sink, the this, the that that breaks. I'd have to hire a 1-800 handyman because I don't know how to fix a lot of things either.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't want to think about this, but that's the problem. We don't think about it and we don't plan.
Well, and we always think that we're good for right now. I mean, you know, I'm sitting here doing that right now, thinking to myself, do I need to take care of that today? No, I can take care of that tomorrow. So it is in our makeup to procrastinate, and it's especially in our makeup to procrastinate about the things that we're not real happy about dealing with. So
well, that brings up another subject about choosing your quad. If, you know, if your parents and you don't have, a family quad, it's very irresponsible, you know, to leave that on your kids, and that's another whole subject. But
yeah, that's a good point. And you're right. You know, and I know it's true because looking down from me on my bookshelf are my mother, my father, and my brother. They're here in my office. Their ashes reside with me here in my office. And in front of my brother's urn, it says Uncle Joe Boneser, which is what my grandchildren called them when they were all little. They called him Boneser. So there's a big plate, Uncle Joe Boneser in and my mom is on one side and my dad is on the other. So all they ever said to me was, I want to be cremated. I don't care what you do with my ashes. So here they sit. And that's
I just don't know. I don't know about that, you know. I don't know. It's something that I toss around in my head all the time, you know.
Well, you have you have some religious barriers, don't you?
Well, yeah, being Jewish, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, they believe you should go out the same way, you know, you came in, you know, your body whole. I'm not very, very religious. I do believe in God, but I don't know why it's that way.
Well,
Steve does.
Well, so maybe there's just, for you, there's just some reflection that you need to do for yourself. Maybe you just need to just reflect a little bit on some of the things that are going on in your life and what would seem important to you tomorrow if you were gone.
I'd rather be in a mausoleum. How about you?
Actually, I've told my kids, you know, if I want to be cremated as well, and I really don't care what they do with my ashes either. If they're, my mother always said you could put them in, my mother loved flowers, said you could plant them in the garden. You could put them in the ocean. I don't care what you do with them, Rini. And the day the man, the crematorium man, came to the house and handed me her ashes, I thought it was going to gross me out. It felt very comfortable holding her ashes, and that's why they've stayed with us. So, but everybody's
good, I don't know,
right?
Yeah, I've been thinking about the whole animal thing. What do you do with dogs? Do they have pet cemeteries?
Only Stephen King.
Yeah, most people do have their animals. Like my mom's got all of her pets cremated, and she gets them in these little ornate boxes, and she keeps them. But, yeah, I mean, I've always just I think there are pet cemeteries, but I don't know where they are. I mean, I've always buried all my animals in whatever property I lived at. So I've got my best.
My dog can't be without me, though. He needs to be, like, he follows me everywhere. So I'm always trying to think, what would he want?
Aw.
You really believe that, honey. It doesn't matter where you put him. Because the truth of the matter is, when somebody leaves us, that's when they're with us forever.
The spirit.
Right. Right.
So, that's the truth. They're much more with us when they're gone than they're with us when they're here, if the truth be known. So,
and my family thinks I'm ridiculous that I talk about these things. I'm like, no, if, you know, I just went to Portland, Oregon. I said, if anything happens to me, blah, 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 blah. And they all think I'm nuts, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, we talked about that in the insurance class, too. And I happen to know some very wealthy families. And they don't even fly on the same plane together. You know that?
Yeah, that's how Stephen and I learned that a long time ago when we were in the Nu Skin business, because we always saw all the leaders, whenever they traveled to do presentations, they always traveled separately. And I'm like, why do you do that? And we always did the same thing. We'll travel separate.
Yeah. Well, it's survival. And I don't think it's a bad idea. I don't know. Spike and I have never done that, but mostly because we could never afford to do things like that. But I do understand it from a certain point of view. But I think the whole thing is to be aware of all the options you have out there and to pay attention to them. Ignoring something doesn't make it go away. It really doesn't. Even though it goes away for... fleetingly, it goes away. But then mm-hmm. It's right back at the face. It's like a big albatross, right? You know, here I am. You didn't deal with me yet. If you don't deal with me, I'll just keep coming back on a regular basis to haunt you. So deal with it. And life insurance is one of those kind of things. And the options that are out there today are awesome. And there's something to fit every need. I'm blown away by all the different things that you can do with a little bit of money or a lot of money. So I think you need to educate yourselves, and there's a lot of things that you can find out online when you look up life policies, and there's a lot of different organizations that will spend time with you. But the most important thing that I can tell you all right here and now and today is to find an agent, one that pays attention when you call them. If you call them and they don't return your calls, dump them. Find somebody who cares about having your business and cares about taking care of you and making sure your life is protected, your family's life is protected. So, Shelley, did I lose you?
No, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
I can, but my dashboard is telling me that I lost you once and then you came back.
No.
We've lost. So, but something must be going on because every now and then I see the spinner on the computer in the corner or something, which means that we lose. I don't think we've lost contact on the phones, but I think online we may have lost times.
Right,
but we didn't get a chance to go over bullies to buddies, but that's okay. That meant that there were questions that needed to be answered. I want to thank everybody for listening today, and maybe tomorrow, because we don't have a lot to recap because we had a short week, we'll talk a little bit about the workbook. But everybody go out there and have a great, great weekend. Wish, or no, only Thursday. Don't have a good weekend yet. unless you got a 3-day weekend coming. But we'll be back tomorrow and do a recap and about the bully's manual. Thanks, Shell. Talk to you soon, sweetie. Bye-bye,
all right,
everybody.
Thanks, Elise. Talk to everyone tomorrow.